few thoughts here from the scripture on the topic of this land is your land, this land is my land. You remember that song? I remember learning that in school. I looked it up. It said it was Woody Guthrie that wrote the song. I don't know a whole lot about Woody Guthrie except that he wrote a lot of songs. But I want to look here in this matter of the land that God has given us. Because you see, it really isn't our land. It's a gift from God. One of the things you'll find if you read through the Old Testament in the promises and the commandments of the Lord to Israel is he made it clear to that nation whom he called out of Egypt and promised the land. We're looking at in Joshua, I am God and I'm giving it to you. And if you don't do right, I'll take it away. And he did, didn't he? And now they're trying to get back. But here in chapter 8, we're going to begin here in verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. And then, of course, we get into some more warnings as we go on. But, you know, doesn't that describe the great heritage we have in this land? They say Abraham Lincoln was noted for saying of America that we were the almost chosen people. This land that God so blessed. He understood Israel were God's chosen people from the Bible. But the United States of America were so blessed of God in our early foundation in our years. And even during the chastening that he attributed the Civil War because of the failure of the generations after the foundations to thank God and continue to follow him, the Lord sent this chastisement. And don't you know that's true? God sends chastisement to get people to wake up. And tragedy does not convert, but it sometimes gets your attention, so you might listen to truth, because truth is what changes us. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And so the Word of God gives us this idea that God is the giver and God is the sustainer and we need to be right with him. You look into the scripture here in Deuteronomy, it's a good land that we have. And they had a good land, land that had been prepared, even though they had been away from it for over 400 years from the time God promised it to Abraham to the time Joshua came and took it over and didn't get all of it, but he got some of it. And by the way, why did he fail to get it all? Because they didn't do what they were told. Isn't that just like us? We have so many promises in the Word of God. And what's holding us back from getting all the blessings of the Lord? It's our own failure. It's not God. God never fails. He's always faithful. But we have to do what he says if we want his blessing. So this good land that he's given us here, we live in a good land. I've read the verses already. Land of brooks and waters and fountains and all these things. Think about the resources of our nation. Even right here in Northeast Ohio. Chalky used to always say it's hard to beat Northeast Ohio. You know, a lot of folks want to go back home where they came from. And there's some sentimentality there, and I'm sure there's beauty there as well. But as far as a place where you've got opportunities for work, you've got health care provided, you've got a fairly good area of climate. Sometimes it gets a little cold. But, you know, we've got a pretty good place here. But we could say that of pretty much all the land that we got. Aren't you glad you don't live in Saudi Arabia? Have you ever looked at that place? With all their money, all they got is around there sand and under its oil. If they ever find a better source of power, I don't know what they're going to do over there. Because you can't eat oil. I think that's why God put it in the ground, don't you? So we could use it for other things. But the Lord gave us all these things to be able to praise his name. And we ought to thank him for that. And he said, we'll not lack anything in it. That's true. We've been blessed. We've been able to multiply. We've been able to grow faster and larger than I think any other nation as quickly. Over 200 years is all we've been here. I mean, you go over to Britain, they got buildings. It's been around for 1,000 years. You know, you wonder how any of them escaped the bombs, but you go to Europe and you got these big cathedrals built ages ago. Go to Africa and the North Africa, you got the ruins of the Coptic church. It's amazing. History's been around. We're recent. And we've been blessed with so much because of God's blessing. But you know, there's always a challenge to us. Galatians 6, verse 2 reminds us we have an opportunity in this good land to use it for a proper purpose. And this is where I'm kind of headed with it tonight, is what are we supposed to do in this land that the Lord has blessed us with? Chapter 6, verse 2 of Galatians talks about, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, we have an opportunity to help others, an opportunity, as we've prayed tonight, to lead people to Christ, but also to help them with their trials and troubles, to do what we can to make this experience down here in this world a better place. We want to encourage our family. We want to encourage our acquaintances and our friends. And what is, I've said this before, the definition of Bible love is desiring the best for the one you love. It's not about me and me getting something from you, whether it's emotion or some kind of physical desires. Love is desiring the best for the one. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them go. You want to see them get close to the Lord and be successful in your life. That's true love and helping others. And as we help others, there's a lot of ways we can do it. We're going to look here at Luke chapter 10, 29 through 37. We have a lot of opportunities, don't we? And I think so often we're negligent in taking the opportunity and using it. Chapter 29, actually, we're going to start with verse 24. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? He answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. And then verse 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of all his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. But what a lesson to us. You know, it's not the outward appearance of religiosity that makes a difference. It's the inward reality of sharing what God has given us. You notice the priest had his robes and the Levite had his occupation, but they looked and passed by on the other side. The Samaritan, what was the difference? He saw him. Did you notice the words? He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Reminds me of the verses in Jude, of some having compassion, making a difference. You know, if we don't have compassion and realize that there but through the grace of God we could be in that mess. And, you know, so often we're tempted to have this judgmental attitude. Wonder what they did to deserve that. You know, that's what the disciples said to Jesus when they met that man born blind from his mother's womb. Said, Lord, who sinned, him or his parents, that he was born blind? Can you imagine asking a question like that? That's crazy. But yet the Lord rebuked him. He said, neither. This is for the glory of God. But you know, sometimes we get this idea, we can explain everything away in our theology and we can blame this and blame that. Sure, it's true, everything's a result of sin. That's why there's sickness, that's why there's problems. But the problem is, we're all sinners, so go on from there. And how can we help somebody along the way? This man didn't need a lesson in theology, he needed a helping hand. And then I noticed too, as he had compassion on him, notice what he did. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn. Now, imagine that. This afternoon, Vaughn told me he was working, and he got covered with ravioli sauce because of the stuff juggling around, carrying it in, got all over his clothes. Can you imagine what that Samaritan got all over his clothes? Picking up a man that had been beaten and bloody. He wiped him down and tried to help him and lifted him up, put him on his own. He got dirty because he had to help somebody that was in the dirt. He got affected by the problem that this man was going through. And if we're going to have compassion on people and reach out to people, it's going to have an effect on us. In other words, we've got to be willing to get our hands dirty. And then he took him to the inn, and he told him to take care of him. He said he took out 2 pence. Now remember, in the Bible, a penny was a wage for the day. Now people argue about that. They say you shouldn't say that. You should change it. I'd leave the words alone. Just understand what the Bible says they were. They agreed, those workmen, to work for the man for 1 penny for the whole day. So whatever you want to think about a penny, it's not our little 1 cent, 1/100th of a dollar. It is a day's wage. This man took out 2 days' wages and put them down and said, take care of him. If you need more, I'll pay you when I get back. He sacrificed. He took of his own means and helped this man who could not help himself. And Jesus makes the application. Which of these 3 was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And of course, everybody can see that. The man who had compassion on him, the man who had mercy on him. And Jesus tells this righteous, self-righteous lawyer, go and do thou likewise. Don't just talk about it. Don't just get the answers from the Bible teaching that you've had and be able to quote the sermon. Put it into practice in your life. He gave the right answer. What does the law say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy might, and thy neighbor as thyself. He got it right. Jesus said, thou hast answered well. That's right. Do it. Then you'll live. But you see, that's the problem with most of us. We get the information.